Hello, everybody, and welcome to Showhopper Severance Season 1, Episode 4, The You Are. That being the word you, not the letter, and the word R, not the letter R. I'm Kurt, joined by my former high school teacher, Mr. Sal.
Kurt, I believe that our work is mysterious and important.
Why does it have to be mysterious? I don't know why I added that in there.
I think that's part of like the appeal. Like if you think your work is mysterious, I think it's more appealing.
That's fair. Like that could be like a cool thing. I guess it's people. I wonder why. I mean, it could also be scary. The fact it's mysterious.
True. The numbers are scary.
Yeah, right. Well, sometimes you get different emotive responses, but we learned the scary ones first. Fear's
right.
Fear's an easy skill to learn. I think people intrinsically have fear. Well, anyway, let's see how we felt about the episode.
Ratings.
So, how did you think about this episode? There's some humor. There's some horror. There's death. There's maybe a breakup, in a way, if you really stretch and, like, squint your eyes.
Well, I don't have my glasses on, so that might be a little easier.
But a relationship is formed. Birthing, I shall refer to it as.
Birthing, I like
that,
it.
Or it's like, Ert. Yeah, and like, that's too close to my name.
So. I like that, Birthing.
So Birthing, like we have Birthing now. B-U, by the way.
Uh-huh.
I think you like that. You love seeing Birthing. The stuff with I really like everything in the office. How do you feel about the stuff outside in Mark's personal life? It's a lot shorter part of the episode, and I'm seeing a trend here, which is the office stuff you enjoy more than the out of office stuff. We did not see them intersect their lives once again in the outside world. It appears, at least, I don't know if there's direct biblical references. There's definitely holy scripture analogies littered throughout this episode, or like, you know, the relation of that with the handbook, and I think you're really into that. I didn't spot any direct biblical references, but perhaps you did. So I think you liked a lot of things in this episode, but you can't give it a 10, and I don't know if you would have given it a 10 anyway because of that whole the Audis not colliding with each other. So I think you gave it a 9. A solid 9.
Okay,
maybe a low 9.
How on earth are we 4 episodes in and the Audis have not collided with each other other than the almost hitting
There's
by a
two
car?
Seasons. There's two this, seasons.
Not yet. This is. I'm shocked by this. Again, I'm completely shocked. Anyway, I'll tell you what I gave it in a bit. First, I think this is your favorite episode so far. You gave it a 10.
Of course. This is the best episode yet. You are a madman. If you don't give this a 10, which I don't think
I didn't give this a 10. I didn't. I gave it a 9.
Because of your subtraction?
Well, no, not because of just the subtraction.
All right. There's other reason.
Yeah. That is a big part of it, though.
Ridiculous.
How?
We don't know the story they're telling. You have railroaded yourself to one specific element you want to see.
You're right.
Right?
You're
right. And you are so annoyed by it. Just let them tell their story, and then, you know.
I guess,
here's what I'll say. If they eventually meet up, and it's a good payoff, or there's like a reason you can find out why they eventually didn't show them this early. Like maybe it turns out Irving's really important in the company, or maybe like it turns out Dylan doesn't actually go home, right? Like he goes in the elevator and it turns out his Audi doesn't exist. They go to like a different department and work. Like he doesn't know that. Okay. Like maybe there's a rationale or it's just some payoff they're waiting off for. But if and when you do figure that out, you better retroactively. If it's the reason you decrease them a point, you better up them a point. Because otherwise, they could have done the story they wanted to tell.
All right. So here's the thing. Mm-hmm. Not only have they not had the Innies collide or the Audis collide, we have spent no time with anybody else's Audi. And I cannot fathom
it's a mystery.
That.
It's cool.
The thing that I was so excited about was to see why these four people have chosen to do this to themselves.
That's true.
And they haven't shown us anything except for Mark.
That's fair. I think that's a better way of putting it, right? Like that's the story you are very interested in seeing, right? And that's the, that's the light you like seeing. I'm interested in that too, but I'm also interested in a lot of these hypotheticals, these what comes from a fact of living in this office environment with your mind attached. And they answered a lot of that in this episode, or at least they explored a lot of it at the very least.
Yeah, they did. I'll grant you that.
And that, just personally for me, that's why I gave it a 10, right? They explored a lot of the avenues I was really interested in that I've discussed some of these to some extent.
I'm gonna tell you right now that this is not getting another 10 until I see somebody else's Audi.
It's not because
here's the thing, like, the episode one is the only episode I've given a 10 so far, and it's the episode they spent the most time exploring that, and this they spent the most time outside the office. Every other episode has been the outside of the office has been so minimized in every other episode. It's really, that part is very disappointing to me. I do like everything that's going on in the office. I just wish we had more outside the office, because a lot of those outside the office seem to have been some of my favorite stuff, and we just get so little of it. I don't know. Anyway,
exact wrong read on that then. All right. That's fair. Fair criticisms.
I did love Irving and Burr. I thought the Burr was wonderful. You. Yeah. I really liked the funeral a lot. I liked everything going on with Rickon's book. I really enjoyed that. Mm-hmm. But the Helly stuff, I mean, continues to escalate, obviously. It's just like getting more and more severe every time. And you did call it, like, there was gonna be some self-mutilation at some point, and certainly we
there's a threat of self mutilation, and then looks like the DEFCON 0 here.
right. So I mean, you have called that, and we did see it here. I don't know though. Like, at a certain point, after what was it, 1,000 times saying the thing? I'm not sure how you're not broken after that and just like kind of playing along. Like, then after you get the video from your Audi, like, there's no hope. So you may as well make the best of this.
I think this comes down to individual people and like how people, how different people react to the same thing. I agree that I think most people would crack under that and just kind of submit. But, you know, I guess Helly's not most people, right? Her reaction to it was, all right, like, I couldn't. I'm doing it my way then, right? Like, I'm showing them. She already has accepted the fact she wanted her Audi to quit means she was already ready for her existence to go away in a way, right? Because they talked about, like, if your Audi doesn't come back, your consciousness is gone, because you'll never come back to this office. Right. You'll never, like, you'll cease to be. So in a way, if you are willing to do that, you know, it's not a far stretch to hang yourself then.
No, you're not wrong about that. That's true.
And that's an interesting thought experiment. They outlined it. So I'm curious for next episode. Like, is she actually going to die? Is she going to somehow live?
I'd be surprised if she's dead.
Me too. I would actually be surprised too. And part of me was wondering if she's doing it to send a message. Like, if she would go in the garbage can, hang the rope, and then, like, go up the elevator, and then, you know, her innie comes back too in that circumstance. It's like, oh,
right.
So,
I mean, I'm sure she would. Otherwise, why would she even go in the elevator and do it? She could do it anywhere. She could do it a lot easier in other places.
true.
So, yeah.
It's a send a message.
It is. She's sending a message. Oh boy. Anyway. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot that I really like about this episode. I really want more from the other Audis, but I don't know. We may never get it.
I don't know. This is the part where I don't want to throw stones at you, Mr. Sal, because I've done similar things. I'm trying to think of an example where, like, I really want to see something. And
yeah,
I guess one example is the Artful Dodger, but I think that's a more fair instance where we were both angry over a specific instance.
Yeah, that's what I heard. Yeah.
Okay. We were angry over they introduced a character and they did nothing with them over and over again. And they kept showing them in certain lights like they were going to do something huge, and they really didn't end up doing anything.
Well, I feel like that's a slightly different set of circumstances. It is. Because that's just like, I wonder what this guy's going to be up to.
It definitely is. I'm just trying to relate to what you're – I'm trying to think of a relation to what – you're feeling now towards it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. You're railroaded a little much is what I feel like.
You're not wrong about that. But I guess to me, it's like everything that happens with Mark in the office is so much more interesting because I know what his life is like outside the office. If the whole thing is just what's going on in the office, I don't have any context for anybody else. So
do you think if you got to know them in the office, they'd be more interesting on the outside?
Well, yeah. And if I got to know them on the outside, they'd be more interesting in the office.
That's true. All right.
Because I honestly don't think Mark would be a very interesting character at all if I didn't know him outside the office.
Oh, definitely. Definitely not. Right. I look at Dylan as a good reciprocal. Like,
absolutely. I don't care at all about Dylan.
Yeah, because I don't know what he's like outside of the office.
Yeah. I don't know what Irving's like outside the office or Helly.
I don't either, but Irving,
about Helly, but
Irving intrigues me because of like mannerisms and certain. Like, they have some other interest points as to why. Like, given all the people that we know inside, mm-hmm. Dylan, probably the least interesting. And maybe if I knew his outie, though, that there'd be more of a juxtaposition or just something to compare him to or. That would make him more interesting.
Exactly.
I get what you mean. Mark would be a lot less interesting if we didn't know his outie.
Yeah, exactly.
So I definitely agree that it would make them more interesting in the inside, but there's just so many other good elements in this episode. I'm like,
no, there are. You're right. So, I'm very glad that Petey is actually dead, by the way.
Yeah. I was going to comment on this as well. That, listen, at least they didn't do it twice to you, right?
Yeah, they didn't.
That's allowed. You get one.
I guess.
You get one, right?
I guess. But I'm glad he's actually dead. So, because that story I felt.
Oh, like wait, wait until he comes back from the dead. Turns out this is all.
Well, they have him. When she pulled his chip and gave it to Milchick, Milchick said, "That's Petey." And she said, "That's Petey." Not that. That's Petey's chip. Not that.
You know, right, that wording of it. I was wondering what they meant by that. I thought they were just omitting the word chip, but yeah,
no,
that's his inner consciousness.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's just like his work consciousness or if that's...
I would imagine, yes, but
interesting.
But who knows?
All right. Well, anything else you really want to say for the episode? I did love it throughout. And it's also
I don't want to rip on it too much.
No, and you're not ripping on it that much. It's a really fair criticism, I think. All in all, I don't know if it's fair enough to drop it a whole point.
I don't think, like, as I said, I don't think I need worlds colliding. I don't think I need the Audis colliding to give it a 10, but I need at least to get to know somebody else's Audi.
That's fair. That's all right. Maybe you'll get to know Felicia's Audi next episode. I can't
wait. Fine. Bert's, whatever. I don't care.
No, not Bert. Felicia.
Fine. Felicia, whatever. That's fine. I want to know somebody else's Audi. Like, I guess we've seen Helly's a couple of times, but I don't know why she's vehemently opposed to resignation. I don't know what her life is like outside of here.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. That does not satisfy your like criteria of what you're looking for. Yeah. It's not.
No, it doesn't. And then certainly Harmony does not satisfy my criteria of what I'm looking for because she's still just her. She's not severed. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway, I get a little fatigued of The Office.
So I love The Office. It is so horrific, mm-hmm. right? Kurt's the horror lover now.
Apparently, yes.
There's like the break room, Helly's return video, in a way, Harmony getting that chip back. We'll call that some sort of form of horror. Helly's the ending for Helly, and.
I mean, how about Bert seeing this gad of people working in optics and design? Mm-hmm. Irving. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's huge as well. Was it through Conquest? We'll talk about the end of the podcast, but the title of the next episode.
Yeah.
Definitely interesting in relation to that. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah, this is something I'm really into. So I'll say this to you, listeners. If there's anything I liked Body's form of this horror. I like some of this, so I don't like gruesome horror or like, spooky ghost horror, but just almost an uncomfortable truth of a life or something, like just something
discomfort is what you like.
Yeah that's really what I like, discomfort horror. Maybe I should be calling it horror. It's horrific though, this discomfort.
It is horrific. Yeah, it's, I mean, it's Black Mirror horror.
You're right yes, like dystopian-esque in some way. Yeah. If you got any recommendations for that, showhopperspodcast@gmail.com. This was recommended to us, so
several times.
Yes. Yeah, so I'm happy with that. That's good. All right. Well, without further ado, then let's check out our favorite scenes.
Favorite scenes.
Okay, I gotta guess you first. Mr. Sal, what did you pick? Actually, all right. Do you Mr. Sal, do you mind if I share something personal? Something in your personal life?
I don't know, I guess.
It's all right. Listeners, Mr. Sal loves to double dip. He's a person who loves to double dip. So I'm sorry, I'm outing you, Mr. Sal. He loves to double dip. So he now has a chance to quadro dip. I think he went with the final sequence of seeds.
Oh, okay. So, I mean, that's a montage. I don't think that's cheating.
I agree. That's one scene. That's a quadro dipping is what I call that. Because you're going scene.
Also,
scene.
When you said double dipping, I thought you were literally talking about like dipping a chip in.
That's
like,
what I was
guacamole.
Referring to. Yeah, that's
you were referring to that.
I was trying to get you off guard there.
Yeah, I don't double dip. Come
See,
on.
Oh,
now
you're refuting it.
Oh boy. Anyway.
You love it so much you took the chance to quadro dip, and that's why you picked this final scene.
The final montage.
I needed some sort of reason to pick it for you.
Alright. Fine.
I can't just say you like montages, that's too vanilla.
So Kurt, I am probably way too confident in my pick for you for your favorite scene. It's like when I saw this scene, I said, oh, that's gotta be Kurt's favorite scene, right? It has to be. If it's not, I'm going to be a little disappointed in you.
I feel bad. All right. I don't know. What is this? I feel like I might have picked the wrong scene.
It's Helly's Audi's video.
Okay.
Response.
Yeah. I'll tell you, you got me spot on. Yeah. That is
yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, no, and it's not even that long. I debated if I should swap because I'm like, you know, there's some longer stuff. For example, the final scene sequence. And there's this is actually relatively short in the scheme of things.
It is.
And I could summarize it in a sentence. Well, yeah, you could very quickly summarize it.
Yeah,
but I do like it. Like this,
of course,
it really amplifies it so much more. They've discussed like, oh, why does our Audi do this to us? Are they monsters? Yeah. Petey alluded to it. Like we thought our outside people were monsters. They're not, or at least they're not the monsters we thought they were. Like they could just be normal people, and perhaps in a way, I just think they're ignorant. They don't understand the internal struggles of their innie, and they aren't like internalizing and wondering how they're feeling, quite to that degree, or maybe they just. They don't care. They don't really know them whatsoever. They never interact with them. But this return video,
you know, if we had some time with their Audis, we might be able to answer some of these questions.
Certainly not wrong. But we get some answers here potentially. You know, I say potentially for a reason. But so she sees her video after, she threatens to chop. So she wants to chop her fingers. Technically, I would call this a different scene, but she threatens to chop her fingers. They let her record her resignation video. She leaves with the video, but then she's right back to work, and her Audi recorded her a video and tells her that she is not a person. She's an innie, right? And so what an element change that like the Audi, so aware of your struggle, and she did get her first resignation request, but that's denied, right? Like you are there because you're there for me, the person. This is like the Black Mirror episode.
Yeah, the cookie. Yep.
The cookie in Black
Mirror. White Christmas.
Yeah, where they show the cookie, right? Where they willfully put their own consciousness in there and they know that. That's fine. Like that's your job. You're gonna help me out.
Yeah.
So you're there. Don't chop off your fingers or you will suffer.
Yeah, I'll make sure you live long enough to horribly regret that. Oh my god.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, and it's terrifying.
The only thing I have to say is I wonder if any way that this is doctored. Not as in like perhaps they edited the film in some way, or listen, if they can influence your mind to separate your consciousness, I don't think it's the farthest stretch they could somehow, like, you have a third consciousness that they can activate when they need or like, you know, just some sort of other, I guess, MacGuffin in this case, but they've kind of proven they can do stuff with the mind to kind of get you to say certain things as like a recording between the two, right? Like, so like a third level of you that can record messages, you'll just do what you're told. But then in a way, if you have that, why not just use that person all the time? Whatever. I digress, because I don't really think this is the case here. I just perhaps.
Well, you're probably. I think you might be onto something, though, because I think one thing they might be able to do is say to the Audi, look, she's fine. She just is struggling to adjust. She needs a nudge from you. Just remind her that she's there for you and everything will be fine.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The context can be so much more different.
Right, because just like, you know, Milchek waiting in the staircase, mm-hmm. right? When he's waiting in the staircase, like, she doesn't want to be in there, does she? Yeah, she's learning to. Like, you know, it's they can feed the Audi whatever information they want about the Innie. They can tell her, no, she's actually fine. Like, she's doing great. Like, you can't believe how beneficial she is down there. She's so good at her job. Like, she's got an office romance going. She's loving life. Like, she just had a bad day. It's okay. You know, they can tell her whatever they want.
They really can.
Yeah.
Oh, and that's why it's my favorite scene. It's mm-hmm. it's the comfort there. So, yes.
Yeah. Got me. Yeah, I'm really glad you picked that, because I was going to be very disappointed if you didn't pick that, because I was so confident
that was your favorite scene. How do you feel about these horrific elements? Like, how do you feel about that scene?
That scene was great. Is that my short list? Yeah. So as is the montage at the end, but neither one of them were my favorite scene.
But you quadro dip.
I know.
Imagine that. Chip, bite, or dip, bite, dip, bite. Dip, bite. Is that it? Maybe one more dip. Who knows? But come on.
I don't think I've ever taken four bites out of one tortilla chip.
That's why. That's why I think hilarious about it. The idea of someone quadro dipping.
So my favorite scene was the funeral. I'm really biased toward the Audis here. I really, if there's a meaty scene with. That happens outside of the office, it seems to be the thing I'm latching on to the most. It was like it was the dinner scene in episode one, and it's the funeral scene here in episode four.
When you say funeral scene, do you mean the entire funeral?
I mean, I'd love to mean the entire funeral, but that's okay. If you don't want me to pick the entire funeral, it's the Enter Sandman part.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's fair.
So, it's a really chilling rendition of Enter Sandman playing, you know, it's a father and daughter singing it, which is, I mean, that's kind of weird to begin with. It really shines a light on the horror. That song is very scary, by the way. Like, it's a really scary song. And to hear those lyrics being played as Mrs. Selvig is literally drilling into his head, into his dead skull. It was pretty chilling, and it's overlaid with Mark kind of flashing to all the memories he has of Petey and the outside world, at least.
Yeah.
I just stylistically, that scene worked in a way that I wasn't expecting to see in this series.
You like the music in the series a lot. They did did a beat sync again, I think, in this episode briefly. What I'm trying to remember what that pan was, and up from something. They had like two beats where it synced up.
I don't remember either. But yeah, I really liked this. You know, it's the song is pretty horrific anyway, and it really highlights how horrific this life must have been for Petey. So anyway, it was mostly a style thing that I really liked. I thought it was a really interesting thing to watch.
It was good. I did like, and this place with her drilling in and getting Petey back. We brought him home. It's like Saving Private Ryan, but
yeah.
Different in most ways.
In most ways, yes. Besides exactly.
Retrieving an item.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, you won't let me include any of this, but I like the idea because it informs what we're watching.
No, it
here,
does. Listen, so I talked about the scene prior. Yeah, so, I talked about the scene prior for mine too.
Yeah, and that is that when he talks with his ex-wife, when Mark talks with Petey's ex-wife, is it Nina? I think it's Nina.
It is Nina.
Okay. When he talks with her and she discovers that he's from Lumen, she says, oh, so you actually don't even know him at all. Like that part of it, you know, he's here because he actually did know Petey in the outside world. But to everybody else, he's here because he thinks he's supposed to know Petey in the outside and on the inside world.
Yeah, like it's almost like a token thing he's here.
Yeah, like he saw that he worked at Lumen, and so he thinks, I probably know him, so I'm going to go to this funeral. Like that part of it, I think, is pretty cool. So when he's watching this. I guess video of Petey and June, like he has the full context of what Petey or what June means to Petey and who Petey was, but everybody else around him doesn't think that he has that context, and he's got to play it like he doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
And that
you're right, that is a very interesting dynamic.
Yeah,
throughout it certainly was.
So, yeah, I guess so. I was having trouble describing why this is my favorite scene, but that's got a lot to do with it because I felt a little hamstrung into not talking about the scene prior. But that scene prior informs what's happening in this scene. So I think we got to at least take it into consideration.
That's fair. Like I said, I talked about the scene prior for my favorite scene.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Well, that's a pretty good scene. I wouldn't call that the best scene. But, yeah, we all can't pick winners. Otherwise, there wouldn't be losers for the winners.
Right. There you go.
The funeral scene is still pretty good. This is a good episode. Yeah. I love
it. Is. It's a good episode.
It's the best one yet? Okay. No? Okay. All right.
I still like the pilot the most.
But... All right. Okay. But maybe you know who said it.
Who said it?
Sal, three quotes, 3 points, rules of three.
Okay.
Three difficulties. Easy, hard, hard.
Oh, wow. That's only two difficulties. Just one is used twice.
The eye of the beholder.
Okay.
So which quote would you like first?
I don't know. I can't
see
anything.
Easy or hard or the second hard, or you can make a hard sandwich.
No, I'm going to do easy first.
Okay. One is the easy here.
Oh, jeez. I thought it was very clear when you had them labeled like that.
Yeah, oof. We can do, we'll go with this one. We'll try again in the morning.
Milchick. It's Milchick to Helly. She's already said the, what do they call this thing? The
break room.
Well, it's in the break room, but the what do they call the chant that they're reciting? I can't remember.
Oh, no, I don't remember.
It's not apology, but it is an apology. So she's already said it 259 times today, and so now it's 5:15. He's got to let her go, otherwise the Audi might get. Well, no, I take that back because the Audi's right here. So anyway, it's 5:15. He's got to let her go, but they'll try again the next day.
So yes, by the way, spot on.
Thank you.
Good job. I was hoping if I would read that in a more cheery tone, you wouldn't figure it out. I did try to I'll be honest, that was a level of deception. It was purposeful, but yes, spot on. End of last episode, I was wondering, you know, are they gonna keep her overnight? What are they gonna do? And this makes a lot of sense, because if you keep her overnight, the Audi's gonna be annoyed or something, right? Like, what the heck.
I lost my whole... it loses a day, probably.
Yeah, yeah. What the heck? I was gone for... I would tell. I came out the next work day? That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
They better pay me for that.
Right. Yeah, I had plans.
Yeah, exactly. I would go work my other shift or a different job.
I had Taylor Swift concert tickets.
Yeah. So, and it's smart because, you know, you walk into the elevator and then she's right back. You know, it's... And what I love about Milchick, they do this so much with Milchick, where he's like the point of He's a constant.
Yes.
Like Lost.
Good series.
Yeah, check it out. Maybe the episode titled The Constant.
That's not my favorite episode, but it's many people's favorite episode.
I have strong feelings about that episode. Check out the series. I think it's in season 3, maybe 4.
I can't remember.
But yeah, check that out. And we have the entire back catalog of Lost. It's in our back catalog. So, yeah, Milchick, he is a scary guy. And he knows what he's doing, like every step of the way. Yeah. It's all calculated.
He does.
I'll calculate. Yeah. Which is horrific in its own way. Starting off the episode the correct way, the discomforting horror way.
Wonderful. Yeah. Yeah. I wonder how they explained the gash on her arm to Rowdy. Because we know when Mark got the gash on his forehead, they wrote him a note and gave him a gift card to Pips.
Yeah. So they assuming they lied to Rowdy. But who cares to know? Am I right?
Oh, I guess. But
no, I thought you were gonna say you care a lot. You'd like to see me out.
Yeah, I do. But oh my goodness, and she does at one point like deviate from script. She's like, "I really am so sorry." It's like, no paraphrasing. No, again.
Yeah. No cold. All right.
Yeah.
On to the second quote, the hard one. That's right. The. Mm-hmm. I suppose you were close in everything.
Oh, this is so horrible. This is so awful. Like, this was like one of the cringiest things in this episode. Like, when she said this, it's a Mrs. Selvig who says this to June about her dead father. Oh, you knew her name.
Good job. That's what the test of this one really was.
Oh, okay. Yeah, about her dead father. Oh, you must be the daughter. I suppose you were close and everything. It's so, what a crappy thing to say to a grieving person.
Why is it like that?
All she had to do was rephrase. Like,
I know.
Were you close? Like, or I hear you were close. Like, the and everything, that part is the really and bad part.
The suppose, I think, is bad too. I suppose you were close.
Right. Yeah, like,
the suppose alone.
Yep. Yeah. She just said, I suppose you were close.
I think the suppose is worse than and everything, but that's also bad too.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Not good. Oh, yeah. It's funny.
Yeah. Cringy. I mean, too. I don't know. Funny is the right word, but yeah.
I think there's a level of comedy to it.
Yeah, I guess so.
But it is outlandish. So
it's horrible.
That's your set of dark humor. But that's part of your favorite scenes, or June.
Yeah, I mean when she meets Mark there too. That was kind of interesting. Because that's the scene, right? She says, "Mark, what are you doing here, Mark?" And which I think it's really funny.
Such actors and actresses like Milchick and Harmony. Yeah. I guess more Harmony. We haven't seen Milchick interacting as much on the outside, but
right. But so I think this is set in Pennsylvania. Is that right? Because Mark's crystal plaque on his desk says Mark S. Allentown. So
Allentown's in Pennsylvania. Did they reference Levittown at all in this?
I don't know.
Did I reference? Maybe I'm getting all confused, but okay.
So I think it's in Pennsylvania, but this accent is really funny to me, Mark. But anyway, because I think it's also, it's obviously an act as well.
It is. Oh, yeah. It's Selvig in general, such an act.
Yeah, she doesn't use that accent inside. It's kind of funny. Anyway, when she sees him here, like these two both know something that the other one doesn't. And they have to kind of keep it secret. You know, she knows that he and Petey were best friends on the inside. She can't tell him that. And he knows that he actually knew Petey on the outside. And he can't tell her that. So this was an interesting little meetup here for these funeral buddies.
Yeah, you're right. More of that. I'm more from Mark's perspective of can't tell. It's almost like poker. Right. Yeah, everything gonna get broken down to poker in some way here. They're hiding their hands from each other.
They are.
And that's about where the analogy at. So all right. So really any card game. Or any game with secret information. Yep. So the last quote for all the marbles. I'm so sorry to interrupt.
Oh God, I don't know this one. I'm so sorry to interrupt. That would be Billy Madison to the Penguin and Veronica Vaughn.
Answer?
No. Okay. This is, but that is a Billy Madison quote. He sees, he imagines the giant penguin with the girl that he's kind of in love with. It. He's very drunk and he says, "Oh, I see what's going on here. So sorry to interrupt." So anyway, I'm sorry. But this was Sorry to Interrupt. Let's see. Let me walk through the characters here. This is not, Dylan is never Sorry to Interrupt. Let's see. This might be, I don't think this is Harmony. This might be Milchick. It might be Helly. It's Bert. It's Bert when he comes in to give them the totes, the new totes. And he says it to Irving. Mark is there. Dylan's there.
You're very close. I'm willing to let you make one edit.
What?
Or half credit. All right, no, 0.66 credit, sorry.
Wow, 2/3 credit. All right. You're not going to tell me what I got wrong?
No.
I mean, it's...
Or up to... If you get it spot on, I'll give you 0.66 credit. I'm going to give you redo it.
But no, you might lose your points. I think I'm right. I think I'm right.
You are. You're very close. Me. Yes, yeah. You're spot on. The tactic did not work. I was hoping I could dissuade you off.
Wow. I'm impressed with myself for now.
I thought you were going to make an edit. I thought you were going to say like Irving or so. You're going to swap over at some point. Although it wouldn't make sense with Irving to say, oh.
Sergeant Ruff. No, that's not. That's a terrible Christopher Walken impression. Oh my God.
Did you? Oh, yeah. Again, listeners, check out that Christopher Walken Super Bowl ad for whatever it was.
I still haven't seen it.
I know. I got to rewatch it. But yes, that is it. So it is the second scene entirely in the episode, but the second biggest scene where we are at macro data refinement. Irving is inquiring with Mark as to, you know, Helly's been gone all day. Maybe you should inquire, Mark. This is the chain of command. Irving does value that, we know. And Bert comes, it's like so much small comedy. Like Bert comes in to interrupt and Dylan immediately grabs something. How'd you know we're here?
What did he grab? Did he grab like an eraser or a finger trap? I can't remember.
He just grabs something.
Yeah.
And he's so aggressive. It's his unbridled aggression towards Bert constantly, right?
I know.
Never backing down.
But what if he's right?
He could be. I'm not saying he's wrong either. It's just, it's comical how no one else, basically this funny part is that everyone else in his department is not like that. But right. Bert will steadfast be a hound dog about it. He's not trusting Bert.
Yeah.
So, you know, how'd you get this location? Give us your location. Give us your directions reversed, right? How do we get back to yours? And Bert brings those pre-release totes. And even gives directions for them to visit Optics and Design. Please, Irving, feel free to come. Bring somebody along if you'd like. And off Bert goes. And what feels like immediately after he leaves, Irving decides he needs to go visit as well.
That's right. He could have just gone with him.
And off he goes.
I love Irving's reaction. You brought pre-release handbook totes to us? Like, he's so excited about it.
Yeah, like, he's so into it.
Honestly, like, there's horror in that, too, because
you're right. Like, the idea, they're so happy with these, like, what feels like small things, right? Like, this is the smallest pleasure.
Erasers, finger traps, handbook totes. Like, he's so over the moon about receiving a new handbook tote. I mean, that is horrifying.
Yeah, and Dylan loves the incentives. And I mean, we'll get into the religious, like, I guess, allegories, right? Throughout this entire episode. Yes, you're right. That adds to the horror. That's my favorite episode. It just plays so well to this element of horror throughout.
It does.
So good. Yeah. So good. Well, all right. Good job, Mr. Sal. You're 3-for-3.
Hey, thanks.
Despite
right.
you hesitated for a bit.
I did. I stalled with Billy Madison.
I mean, you wavered when I gave you the chance to change your answer.
I'm so proud of myself for not changing. Holy cow. That's like the close? Hardest thing I've ever not done.
I've never not. That's the hardest thing you've done. All right. Well, let's get into the recap. We already chatted about Helly in the break room. So we see personal life Mark, Audi Mark, hiding the ringing phone inside his camping gear. That, well, we'll see if that comes into play.
And lots of blocked calls.
Yes. Oh, you're right. So
they all say blocked.
Yeah, so we don't know who's calling. Meanwhile,
kind of an antiquated phone here too.
It was like a burner phone thing. You still got flip
phones. Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
Work Mark debates over the map. He's looking at it, wondering. Who knows how that'll go? And then we get the quote scene with Bert coming to visit and give the totes. Irving leaves to go visit Optics and Design immediately. And Helly returns, having done 1,072 reads of that apology. We see Irving traveling these long hauls. And again, I mean, I love thinking about their perspective on the world. Like, since this is the world as they know it, for us, we would struggle to go through these halls. But for them, like, understanding the directions and navigating these halls must be, like, you know, a very understanding thing to do for them.
Well, I think back to the pilot and Mark's first descent down the elevator that we saw, and that is they stayed on him the entire time, and it was a long walk. It was long, but he didn't even think anything of it. Like, he never hesitated, took every turn as it came.
Yep. So, you know, they're just used to navigating this.
Yeah.
And it's, I know, traveling wise, we get to the staff room. My distinction from the break room. But they are discussing the break room.
Yes.
Helly and Dylan, which is against the rules. And this might be the first instance in the episode, I think, where someone's quoting the handbook. But we're going to see this throughout, where
you're going to quote quotes.
The handbook, similar to quoting the Bible or some other holy scripture. And there's a lot of parallels between that and the two. So,
yep.
But, yeah. Dylan shares his tactics for the break room.
Right. Yeah, you just got to think of something you're really sorry about and pretend that's what you're apologizing for. Like, I think it's pretty obvious that my Audi has been with other men's wives. And I feel sorry for them. I mean, I don't feel sorry for doing it because that's a pretty awesome thing to do. But I feel sorry for the other men.
Dylan, man. So, I really do want to meet Dylan's Audi now. Like, I'm so curious. I hope Dylan's Audi is exactly as he thinks he is. Like, he goes to muscle shows.
Muscle shows.
He gets paid per muscle. Yeah. Maybe just avoid the break room altogether.
Yeah.
Irving arrives to Optic and Design. Bert gives him the tour, and Irving is an enthusiastic fan. He does note here that Felicia is on a supply run, but he kind of, like, I don't know, he says it in such a way where it's, yeah, it's check off supply run. I don't know, like, what do you mean she's on a supply run?
Yeah.
And for a moment, they hold hands. At least they touch hands.
Mm-hmm. They
and
do.
It looks like Irving kind of struggles to internalize or deal with this. So he just rushes to leave, right?
It's
a lot at once here. So he books out of there.
Exactly. I will say, you know, they look at this. I don't remember what the name of this painting was. The something of Kier, but the convalescence of Kier. That's what it was. And it's like Kier sick in bed or something like that. And all of these paintings are like painted in the style of a religious icon.
Yes, you're right.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And in he ends his description of this particular piece, the convalescence of Kier, with, what does he say? He says, here, arise again, more perfect for the struggle. Right. Which, I mean, it's not an uncommon thing to say that, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Like, that's a really common thing to say, that the struggle can strengthen you. Like, that stuff gets said all the time, and there's a lot of truth to it, but it is horrific hearing it coming from Keir in this context,
especially. Yeah. How horrific.
Yes, you're going to struggle down here, and you'll rise stronger for the struggle. So this is good for you. This, what we're doing, this abuse that we're putting you through is good for you. Like that. Yeah. I mean, we're coming from an abuser, because I mean, I don't know if Keir was abusive, because Keir was, you know, what, 200 years ago?
Heck, Keir might not even be real.
That's true. You never know. That's a fair point. But what he's saying is, in this case, in current terms, we're putting you through hell, but we're making you more perfect. You know, we're tempering the blade. So you're welcome for the abuse. Like
to chisel some, like a marble block into a statue. Yeah. You've got to hit it a few times.
right. But you can hear like a domestic abuser saying this type of thing.
You can. You know, you kind of reverse it on the person, right? Like, this is for you, right? It's either you're making this worse, or like, I'm doing this to make it better for you. This will make you better.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And that's scary stuff.
Ooh. Spooky. Not really spooky, but horrific.
Yeah.
I gotta give a different word for that, though. I don't know if I want to say horrific.
Unsettling.
Unsettling? These are good words here.
Yeah.
Uncomfortable. Discomfort.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe spooky. I'll have to workshop that. Mark and Helly have like a some office chit chat. She seems, I wrote, seems dead in the inside, which is kind of yeesh.
She got 4% though.
She did make it to 4%, which I'm assuming means like her. They discussed like how like no one could do like an entire fat batch, maybe from freshman or beginner's luck. But
yeah.
Anyway, Irving returns back, or sorry, he's going to return, but he finds Rickon's book that Milchek left at the end of last episode. And he rushed off to try to figure out the Helly situation. Yep. And my initial thought was that he's going to take the book and read it. I'm like, oh, Irving's going to do something bad, right? And I'm so wrong. Because
exactly. That was my thought, too.
This is so applicable. I'm like, oh, Irving's going to be corrupted. No, and I like that about Irving. He's steadfast. You know, he's a believer. He's a believer.
Mm-hmm.
Dylan, I don't know if Dylan's as much a believer, but.
Dylan's different motivations. The incentives are all he needs.
Yes. Yeah, he's still in line. Like, I mean, I don't know. Yeah. He hasn't been a huge troublemaker. He's doing what they want him to do.
Yeah.
Helly finds Petey's map, calls Mark a hypocrite, which not entirely wrong. So to write this in wrong, no maps allowed here. After her and Dylan look through it a little bit, they do note the houses. He argues with her about the importance of working here, philosophical-esque. And
their work is mysterious and important.
Yes. And then he goes and shreds the map.
Yeah.
Because, he doesn't care for Petey that much. It's just, this is contraband. So we shred it.
Your best friend left this for you, and you care more about not upsetting the cart.
Yes, exactly. And what of it? So Irving comes by and brings Mark and Dylan to see the other piece of contraband, the book.
Contraband.
I know. He did not.
You know who could take advantage of all this contraband? Fagin.
Fagin would love it. That's from the Artful Dodger listeners. Check that out too. Their back catalog. Maybe you've seen the Oliver Twist series.
I love the series. I think it's so good. The Artful Dodger. I mean, Oliver Twist is good too. And whatever. Anyway, check it out. It's really good.
I do like how Irving does not want to break the chain of command.
I thought about taking it right to Milchek, but that would be breaking the chain of command, so I brought it to you.
Irving. Dylan's there as well. No books are allowed here other than the handbook, as they cited it from the handbook, which is kind of a Kafka trap in a way, but not really. It's weird. It's circular logic, I feel like.
Yeah.
Well, only I guess if the handbook says I am the only book that is worth reading, right? Every other book is misinformation. It's like, well, now I can't listen to what any other book tells me.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. But I think that this is dictatorial, like a really what's the word I'm looking for? The totalitarian type of rule that, you know, we don't have books here. There's just this one. This is the only book you need.
And so what's interesting is, like, I'm thinking of, like, Holy Scriptures. Like, it's like, for their equivalent, because they don't really read books, this is like another Holy Scripture here. I will later see Mark reading it. It's like a Holy Scripture. They're like, no, don't listen to it. Every other Holy Scripture, you don't want to read it. Like, this, it's not the handbook.
Yeah.
Interesting, right? But if you're used to equating reading a book to being something so important, it might give this more gravitas. We'll have to see.
Forward. You know, that's true. You're right. That's a good point. But there are some fundamentalist religions that would not come far from this. This holy book is the only book.
There is.
Don't read those other books.
Yes.
Don't read those other books, though. They will just corrupt you. I mean, you know, the Harry Potter books were getting burned in the late 90s by fundamentalist religions.
There is through lines with this, like actual religion, which is, again, interesting to me. Mm-hmm. I also brings into question to me if this, I won't say it exactly, but if I say the Walt Whitman book, I think people.
No, I know
what I'm talking about. Yeah. I'm sure a lot of listeners that I'm talking about. I wonder if it'll give me that type of vibes, this book, or not. It gives me those type of vibes. Yeah. Like if it'll be like the, some sort of, like it'll be the trigger for a moment that allows for someone to figure something out.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, it already seems right now that there's a note in the book. But, you know, he doesn't.
Yeah.
Any Mark doesn't realize that this, for Audi Mark, maybe he'll connect the two dots and then he'll go Rickon. And I don't know. But this seems to be maybe perhaps the thread connecting the two.
I'm trying to think. I know that I've seen another. Oh no! You know what I'm thinking of? The Leftovers, the Book of Kevin, like falling, like appearing out of nowhere, and people viewing it as actual scripture.
Oh yes, okay.
Yeah. Do you remember that? It's in season three.
Yes, it's the final season. Yes, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, all right. Man, season three got weird. They got pretty weird. Check it out, listeners.
Yeah, Leftovers is my favorite series. Definitely check it out.
I should probably rewatch The Leftovers because now I'm thinking back
to season three. Definitely should.
Because now I'm thinking back to season three. There's a lot of weird. I mean, I'm not going to spoil any of it now, but there's like, it's probably because I don't remember the through lines as to how they get to certain parts and elements of it. But like,
yeah,
there's some weird parts. Even season two, like International Assassin, it is a good episode.
No, my favorite episode of television.
I know. Yeah. But it's like, in context, it's a weird episode, right? Just.
You mean out of context?
Sorry, yes, my bad. Yes, out of context.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Just thinking back to it, it's like, well, wait, he's... Anyway.
I
digress. This is not a Leftovers podcast, but we have covered it in its entirety, so check it out.
Yeah. Yeah. But I know what you mean here. Like, so here's another text that could be... They don't know who Rickon is. They have no idea. This could be... It could... And it's addressed to Mark. It's got an inscription to Mark. Mark could not have brought it in because the elevator would have triggered.
Yes. Is he some sort of specialty in this?
Is it intended for Mark on the inside? Is it intended for any Mark? You know, did Milchick leave it for any Mark?
So many questions. So, and he's definitely reading it. So we'll see what comes from it.
Yeah.
Moving on. So we get to Helly's part where she turns to chop her fingers and ultimately it ends with her getting threatened by her Audi. We get to see Audi Mark end a phone call with Devin taking a vacation to the ski lodge. So I'm curious if we will see Mark take a vacation during the season at all. And if that means he'll be out of action and maybe we'll get your dream of seeing other characters. Like maybe he'll be gone for an episode basically.
But the other characters,
not Mark. Be interesting.
But these were the ski lodge were birthing cabins, so apparently this is where Devin intends to have her baby.
So I don't know if Mark would even be there for that, but
who knows?
We'll see. On other news, PD's a confirmed dead.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I was think was, and maybe I was wrong. I think the cell phone was ringing again, and that was the beat of this year.
You're right. Yes, it was. Yes.
That's what I was thinking. Okay. Well, yes. I'm glad to do that. But I'm glad to have now remembered that.
Yes, exactly.
Back at work, Harmony and Mr. Grainer talks. We haven't seen him all episode. Yep. Just kind of checking back over this whole PD situation. Not their fault. The board will understand, but the board doesn't believe that reintegration is real.
Yeah.
So Harmony, you're going to... Well, she wants to get Petey's chip back.
Yeah.
Whether it's to prevent people from figuring out how they do it, or maybe to prove the board wrong, or maybe to learn how people are reintegrating themselves, like use it as a
thing. Or maybe to reanimate Petey.
Franken Petey.
Franken Petey, yes. Petenstein. Petenstein.
And so after Mr. Greener leaves, she kind of reads off some words. I don't know if you have the connection to this, because this is not... Was this
I know what this is.
In the hall? Yeah. In perpetuity?
No, okay. So this was... do you remember I think it was episode one, where they did the icebreaker game?
Okay.
Was it episode one?
The icebreaker... rolling the ball?
Yeah.
That might have been episode two. It's episode one.
It might have been episode two. I can't remember. Anyway, it was episode two. Yeah. So.
Oh, you're right. Because the nine principles or core principles.
Yes. Irv says, I know the nine, whatever, by heart. And Milchick asks, which one's your favorite? And he says, all of them. But right now, cheer. So the nine words are vision, verve, wit, cheer, humility, benevolence, nimbleness, probity, and wiles.
I what does wiles mean?
Wiles is like devious cunning.
Oh, jeez.
Like the ability to deceive people to get what you need or want.
That word in and of itself is kind of wiles. It's wild, huh?
Yeah, and that's the one that triggers her idea to go to the funeral, and we get to see her wiles in action.
And action we do. We get Mr. Sal's favorite sequence of scenes, which is the funeral. Harmony, Mark are there. We see June and Nina, Petey's daughter and mother, awake, and Harmony swiping back Petey, whatever that means, the chip in his brain, but perhaps his any consciousness.
Who knows?
And they go back home. Outside of his house, Harmony reminds Mark that, you know, if he's ever too sad, give her a call. But he decides to go out for a ride, and he goes to the site of his wife's car accident. As now, I wrote,
That's a guess on your part, right?
Yeah,
that's my assumption.
It's my guess as well.
But, yeah,
but perhaps it isn't.
The tree's got a ribbon on it. I think he's hugging the tree.
And what I wrote here, emotional. Period.
Wow. Insightful, Kurt.
Emotional.
But in all seriousness, though, like, this is the type of thing that I want for the other three. What are they called? Macro data refiners. I want this type of scene for them so that I understand them a little bit better. This goes a long way. It's a short scene. It doesn't. There's not much happening here, but it goes a long way toward understanding why he doesn't want to think about this for 8 hours a day.
Hard thing to think about.
Yeah.
Harmony.
I didn't think. I mean, if he sleeps for 8 hours a day and he works for 8 hours a day, that's only leaves 8 hours a day that he's got to think about it.
And he's numbing the pain, so no need.
Exactly.
Harmony gives Milchick his implant, and she also wants Miss Casey to run a wellness check for Mark.
Yep.
At work, Irving meets Bert in the halls. Neither are embarrassed. Really, no. You know, we're all good here. And representing MDR, Irving would love to join Bert for his four more stops. But not a lot of productivity here, Irving, if you're just going to go around.
Irving has pretty much skeeved off work this entire day.
He kind of has. Like, for the guy, he loves the history of work. I don't know how often I see Irving actually working, though. Like, I'll give Dylan credit where credit's due. I think Dylan works the most out of everyone.
Yeah, probably.
The actual job.
He's got to get those finger traps, man.
I mean, his incentives reflect otherwise. Irving's loyal, but I don't know how much work he's actually doing. Helly I don't know why. And Mark. But yeah. Dylan carries this department. It appears to me, at least, in terms of...
It sure looks that way, yeah.
So they do some more stops. And this was funny, too. You know, Irving, he'd be a little vulnerable discussing how he got cited, I guess, or like in trouble. What was it called?
Sleeping at work. He got sent to the break room, right? To wellness. He got sent to wellness for the break room. Or for dozing.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I love Bert's response. I sleep a lot out of here. I think you're probably disco or something.
I couldn't take a nap here if I wanted to. I must sleep 16 hours a day. But you're a party guy, Disco King.
Yeah, just Christopher Watkins.
He's great.
But they kind of get, in a way, the handbook, like scripture, right? Irving feels that falling asleep is against the written scripture of what they should be doing. But Bert's more of a first edition guy, as he literally puts it. And in short, Kier can communicate to you in a lot of ways that are not through the scripture.
Yeah, more than just art and handbook.
So even within like this office space, they're making it very analogous to religion right now. There's different ways of believing or expressing your belief. And I don't think, and not everyone believes in the same way, right? Like Dylan. He wants him to keep the book. He wants Mark to keep the books. It's not even like they all believe in it,
right?
To the same degree. So it's really interesting.
The Kier works in mysterious ways. You know, it reminds me a lot. Have you read Brave New World by any chance? Okay, so I really like Brave New World a lot. And one of the things in Brave New World is that everything is set to the, like, the, you know how we have BC and C, well, now I guess now it's CE, but it used to be AD, and you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
There's BCE and now CE. There's also, it used to be BC and AD. Right? Yeah, so now in Brave New World, they set everything to revolve around the invention of, or I guess Henry Ford's invention of the Model T, right? So it's like
a dystopian-esque book.
Yeah, it is a dystopian book. Yeah. Oh. So it's like in the 237th year of our Ford. Instead of our Lord, they say our Ford. But you can almost hear that same kind of tone being used for Kier in this episode.
Certainly. Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, it's so analogous. And it's creepy in a way.
Yeah, it is.
Or discomforting.
Yes, it is.
Meanwhile, I think in the bathroom, Mark's reading Rickon's book. And it shows a line where he's saying, you know, the job values you more.
Oh, yeah. So what does it say? It's you don't need your job. Your job needs you.
Yes.
Yeah, your job, I guess it's the other way around. Your job needs you, not the other way around, is what he says. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which is, I mean, to see that in print, if you're an innie, is like,
oh my
God. Wait,
goodness.
What?
They need me? I don't need
what?
Them.
What?
Workers' rights. And then he's unionized.
Unionized. Oh, man, that would be amazing if they just spontaneously figure out to unionize. With no context, because Kier's not teaching them about unionization.
Oh, well, maybe this book will.
Oh, it could.
Imagine how confused Harmony Milchick would be. They just started unionizing. Like, what? Well, Dylan and Helly, who are actually still working in this instance. This is where we get the quadro dipping scene.
Yes.
Starting here. So I guess I'll break it up in chunks. Wellness center. Mark is there. Harmony is watching. So someone is watching through that camera live. And he's to sculpt how he feels with clay. And he kind of makes, I would call this a tree branch. Or like a tree with the leaves. But perhaps tendrils or different. I don't know exactly what he's representing here. But
I thought it was a tree, but yeah,
that's
you're
what
right.
I felt too. Yeah, but no leaves, so who knows? A bare tree, winter, fall, maybe it's trying to represent autumn.
Maybe it's just really hard to make leaves with clay.
Maybe you're trying to do the color orange, because leaves can turn orange in autumn. So.
Okay.
So I'll go with that. He did the color orange. Like Showhopper is orange.
Yeah. Orange sticker. More leftovers references.
Oh, yeah. Where that was at. Irving walks the halls and returns to optics and design. But Bert's not around, so he peers into the back room to see, well, a lot of people.
Yeah.
A lot. And we'll talk about that a little bit more in a moment here. Ellie goes off to get some rope in a trash can and does something in the elevator. We'll probably see that very quickly in next episode, whatever the result is. And Dylan finds Mark's book while he's out of the office and starts to read it. The bit he reads is, what's this called when you have a like, destiny's the word, but it's
anagram, right?
Anagram, yes. Wait, is it an anagram when you mix up the letters? That's a monogram?
You're right. No, it's a, I just say mnemonic device then. I don't know.
Whatever, but yes, whatever. So yeah. D is for dreaming, E is for energy, S is for stewardship, T is for terror, I is for eyes. And it really gets lazier in these last ones, right? Eyes for eye. Like, you got these early ones. He's like, these are bangers, straight bangers. But
yeah,
these last ones, eye for eyes, N for newness. And then Y, something to ponder. Why? But it is very like, so the reason I've been bringing up the concept that this is almost like another holy scripture is that Dylan seems not to really connect with the scripture as much. I'm referring to a handbook, like Irving does. So this might pull him in a lot more. And Mark has he cites the handbook a few times in this episode, primarily to Helly. But I think he's a believer, I guess. But Dylan, I don't think really is. So this might really appeal to him.
Yeah,
I'm curious to see.
Yeah.
If it'll invoke destiny or if he'll keep reading it and what goes on from there. But circling back then, well, actually, before we even circle back, anything else you want to say for the episode? Because that's the recap.
So I guess I just want to remind you and everybody and myself that Bert has been on record as saying it's a two-person department.
You are right. You are correct. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
So that's
twice, I think. I think he says it twice. Or maybe Felicia says it once and Bert says it once.
I guess let's talk about this now then, which is next episode's title. Episode 5, The Grim Barbarity of Optics and Design. What a title.
That is. Yeah, I don't really have anything to say about it other than I assume we're going to get a hefty dose of Christopher Walken in the next episode.
Listen, these titles are a lot more like Kurt titles here. Right, straight into the point.
Yeah. You're not wrong.
I guess we'll get to the episode they went to the perpetuity room in perpetuity.
Yep.
That's what that,
where were they? In perpetuity.
Exactly. When they find the book, the you are. We'll see what next episode, but fingers crossed. Fingers crossed that it's useful. But in any case, then, let us check the time.
Ah, yes. TV time.
Aha. Ain't no time like a TV time. This episode is dog food, which means the opposite of dog water. It is very good.
I don't know why it means the opposite. Good. Yeah, Kurt made that up, folks. This is not a real thing.
Nothing is a real thing until you make it real, Mr. Sal.
It's fair enough. Okay.
This episode is straight dog food.
Okay.
So I would give it a 5. I think. Yeah. I mean, I guess you would. Even though you only gave it 9.
I
the people of TV time gave it a 5.
They did, 81%.
Oh, outstanding. Is that the best one so far?
I think so. It should be. Let's see. I'll check if I can figure out how to swipe back and forth. There we go. 68% last time, 68% episode 2, 64% episode 1. So, yes, this is by far the most 5 episode.
And then character
I think you said Helly, and I think the people said Mark.
I think you said Mark.
And the people?
Oh, yes, sorry, and Mark for the people.
Okay, I did say Mark, and the people did not say Mark. The people said Helly, 87%.
Wow.
Now, Maybe she actually is dead. Maybe that's an in memoriam thing.
I respect it if she's dead.
Yeah, absolutely.
I had Helly, but I changed it like a little bit before. I'm debating if I should change it back to Helly.
You changed it to Irving, didn't you?
I'm such an Irving fanboy.
I know.
I'm keeping
Irving's
it
great.
I'm keeping it to Irving. I'm keeping it to Irving because you know what? I didn't pick Helly because maybe I'm not being fair to Helly. No, I just think Irving's a more interesting character. That's why, because of his feelings towards things. Helly, I feel like I have the read on in a way, right? Helly is just, she just doesn't want to be there. She's our lens to look through, and I like what she does. Like, she would be my second vote here. I mean, she was my vote up until during this podcast when I swapped to Irving. But Irving is just, he's a fascinating person to me, right? Like, I don't have the read on him, and everything he does makes sense in his viewpoint. I guess a good example would be when he finds the book. I finally thought Irving's going to crack here, but no.
Right.
No, he's got a guy that can't break the chain of command.
Right.
And now,
even though he skeeved off work 2 days in a row.
Well, that's different. You're allowed to do that. But the handbook says nothing about skeeving off work.
Okay. No, I get it. I almost said Irving in this episode, too. Right.
But so why'd you say Mark then?
Well, because he's the only one we know from the outside. So, all of the exterior scenes are with Mark. So, you know, including my favorite scene.
Pretty fair. Oh. Helly, blessed be if this is the in memoriam vote. And I guess we won't see you all as the Audi anymore, but perhaps we'll still see your impact from that. But it's mysterious, so it's cooler.
Hmm?
Like the fact that her Audi's a mystery, like that's cooler.
Like the work, mysterious and important.
Yes, exactly.
We could just look up the episode count on IMDb.
For what?
Helly.
For Helly. No, that's such a spoiler. We'll just watch next episode.
Oh, somebody's going to email us and tell us anyway.
showhopperspodcast@gmail.com. Even though we will have already finished the series at this point.
Yeah.
But bait him, yes. That'll show him. Well, anything else you really care to say, Mr. Sal?
No, it really is a good episode. I'm just looking
for
more.
You're just railroaded.
But I can't unrailroad now.
Yeah, listen, that's what a train says, right? Trains, though, they like being on the railroad. I get that. But as a car, listeners, I hope you enjoyed this podcast. Come back next week. In the meantime, share the podcast. You can email us, showhopperspodcast@gmail.com. Leave us a rating, reviews, back catalog. We've already mentioned quite a few in the episode.
Yeah, we have.
What do we have going on right now? We have, I think there's, Regime Finale is coming.
Whoa.
Out, potentially. And that's about it. We just did Culprits before this. Check that out. I liked that series a lot. So
yeah, that's great.
I would really recommend that. Really, a lot of the last recent ones we've done, Artful Dodger, Bodies, Culprits, all really would recommend. A Murder at the End of the World, I would really recommend our coverage.
I like that.
Okay. So thank you all for listening, and we'll see you next week for episode 5 of Severance, The Grim Barbarity of Optics and Design.
Shoehammer some showhoppers into your day.